Hello there, and a hearty welcome to you. Yes, that's you, my dear friend. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host today, Dumisani Fune, and I'm really, really glad you have opted to spend this 30 minutes listening to Practical Living. There's a lot that God wants you to listen to and that God has prepared for you. So sit back, enjoy, but beyond that, and more importantly, be blessed. I know a lot of us are, you know, getting ready or probably have even started a weekend. So to help you start your weekend right, we're going to meet a friend of mine. Her name is Vivian, and she hails from Cameroon. Ah, it was fun chatting with Vivian. So you're going to hear what we talked about as she schooled me about life in Cameroon. But before that, let's kind of think about families. We've had Dr. Gwala sharing what he knows about families. And I don't know if it's just me, but have you noticed that families aren't what they used to be, you know, 20 years ago? Yeah, there's lots of changes. So Dr. Gwala is going to help us look at some of those changes and see how we can remedy. We now have Practical Family. Welcome back to Practical Matters. Dr. Gwala is with us as usual. Welcome, Dr. Gwala.
Thank you.
We've been looking at some of the problems and challenges that families are facing nowadays. And remember that God did want us to have families. He did want us to have children. That was His ideal. But somehow, we find happiness is not there anymore. You know, Dr. Gwala, as I watch TV every now and again, when I have a chance, I've seen trends. You know, when I was young, I'd watch TV, and most families you'd see had a husband and wife and children. And then when I was, that was in the 80s. When I was a teenager in the 90s and 2000s, I noticed a shift. I was now seeing a lot more single parent families. Nowadays, when I, you know, flip through TV, I even see gay families. I don't know if you've noticed that shift as well. Mm-hmm. And what really bothers me is especially with homosexual families. My biggest problem is actually on the children. I wonder what that does to the children.
Look, homosexuality is something that has caught the world by surprise. As we all understand, it's not something that has always been there. I think it has been linked with democracy. Mm-hmm. And before democracy, especially in the African states, you didn't have any of those. If they were there, they were hidden. But after democracy came into the picture, then we had these issues of gay marriages, lesbian marriages. The challenge they present, number one, is that they are not an ideal family. Because they are not an ideal family, they cannot impart concepts and principles of a good marriage to the children they may be a custodian of. Because instead of having their own children, they would adopt children.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Therefore, they are kids when they grow. They want to have role models in life.
Mm-hmm.
They need a father figure whom they are going to be looking after. They need a mother figure whom they'll be looking after. And when one of these is missing, that perpetuates a problem in the society. Because even when they get married, because they don't have a father figure, in their marital relationships, they may not know how to deal with their husband because they have not seen how their mother was dealing with a father,
mm-hmm.
because there was no father or there was no mother.
Mm.
Therefore, that creates a big challenge in our communities. The second thing which is a challenge is that I think it has been scientifically proven that two like charges repel each other.
Yes.
Therefore, the concept of gay marriages and lesbian marriages, to me, presents a challenge because since when people of the same kind attract each other? Therefore, this is defying science. It's defying God.
Mm.
Because in the Bible, God says male and female. Science says two like charges repel each other.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the very essence of these marriages is flawed.
And you mentioned earlier on that if these issues did exist in our cultures of homosexuality, they were very, very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the world over, these things were hidden because if they did exist, we didn't know about it.
Mm.
It then makes me wonder, if there was nothing wrong with it, why was it being done in secret?
I think the challenge of these marriages in all the countries, look, for an example, South Africa is one of the few countries that have legalized this marriage. But even in South Africa, go to the townships, the communities there, gay people and lesbian people are not fully integrated with other people because this is seen as something beyond what a human being is supposed to be. It's something that is unacceptable, even though legally, constitutionally, it's accepted. But it goes against human and family norms. Therefore, it's not accepted in the communities. Even though the courts have declared them legal, and even though the courts have actually indicated to everyone that each one of us has a right, it is their right to have a different orientation. That's what the courts are saying. But we are saying that creates a problem in the biblical model and even in our own understanding of the model. Mm. Because homosexuality in any community is not part of the family structure.
Mm. And you know, and I really think of kids, you know, being raised by homosexual parents, and I just think of the taunting they would go through at school. Because like you said, this thing is not largely accepted, you know. Mm. The media is trying to make it look like it is. And it seems somehow that the media has really made us numb to some of these social ills. But just think of the taunting they would go through, you know, how hard it would be for those kids to be accepted as being normal kids when the home is not considered normal. And then, like you also mentioned, growing up in that environment, they'll have a misconstrued concept of family and thus perpetuating the problem. And we find that these problems get worse and worse with each generation.
Mm. And I also want to highlight this, that let us not be misled. Homosexuality is not only a challenge to ungodly families. Homosexuality is a challenge to Christians.
Hmm.
And therefore, you begin to wonder if this person is a Christian and subscribes to homosexuality, how does he or she understand God?
Hmm.
Because God is very clear, you must either be a man or a woman. You cannot be a man in a woman or a woman in a man. God is clear there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is a serious challenge that we definitely need to look at. Because without looking at it, it's going to create more confusion in our communities. Maybe I also need to add this. As I indicated earlier on, globalization has caused some of these challenges that we have today. Because in an African setting...
Now, unfortunately, Dr. Gwala, we're out of time. So I think we can look at how globalization has really influenced, for the good or the bad, our notion of family. Thank you.
Just joined us. You're listening to Practical Living, and I'm Dumisani Fune. That was Dr. Gwala telling us a little more on globalization and how it has changed our understanding of what a family is. How our family structured where you are from. Write into us. Let us know about it. We'll read your letter on air or your email. We'll read that on air and let other people know how family is viewed where you're from. Maybe we need to change our notion of what family is. What do you think? Write into us and let us know. Later on in the program, I will give you the address that you can use. So make sure that you stick around and, more importantly, that you write to us. Now, I told you that I would introduce you to a new friend that I've made. Her name is Vivian. She is from Cameroon, and she just had me in stitches laughing. So, listen to the conversation that I had with Vivian. And as she takes us on a trip to Cameroon, I hope you will be blessed and you will appreciate the wonderful, wonderful world that God has created. Welcome to Practical World. As you guys know, the world we live in is big. There are so many countries, and I'm always glad and honored when I get guests in the studio from different parts of the world, because when they share where they're from, I kind of feel like I've traveled to that country. So today, I have Vivian. Vivian, what's your surname?
Metsabdon.
Metsabdon.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you from, Vivian?
I'm from Cameroon.
Ah, yes, Cameroon. You know, whenever I hear Cameroon, guess what the first thing is that comes to my mind?
Football.
You guessed it. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, so tell us about Cameroon. How is Cameroon?
How is Cameroon? There is so many things to talk about Cameroon. So I don't even know what to begin.
What should we know about Cameroon?
Okay, I think that the first thing is, where is situated Cameroon?
Okay.
Yeah, Cameroon is a Central African country.
Okay.
And we share boundaries.
Yeah, border.
Border. Yes. Okay, with Nigeria, Chad, Central African Republic, Congo, Gabon, and Equatorial Guinea.
So it's really in the middle there.
Yeah, yeah. In the central parts of the continent.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far are you from the equator? Is it very hot in Cameroon?
What is great about Cameroon is we have almost all the weather we have in Africa.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
Some in the North Cameroon, it's hot. But the big south, it's cold. Sometimes I like saying that there are days I experience in Cape Town, Cameroonian weather. In the west part of the country, it's really cold. That's the mountain part of the country.
Okay. And then which part of the country are you from?
I'm from west.
The mountains.
Yeah.
Apart from football, what else is Cameroon known for?
Okay, let me just talk about Cameroon. Cameroon is called Miniature Africa. I don't know if it's a proper English. Because inside the country, as I said before, we have the kind of weather. We have equatorial climate, tropical, and we have another one, we call it Cameroonian climate.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have a part of the climate, the salt, the, I don't know, how is it a relief?
Yes, the hills and the landscape.
Yeah, yeah,
relief.
We have almost what we found everywhere in Africa. And it's kind of, even the kind of people living in Cameroon, you know, is you are not, that is not homogeneous, you know? When people talk, speak in Xhosa here, I have no problem. Not because I understand, because even in Cameroon, there are many languages I don't even know, you know. So in Cameroon particularly, we have something like 200 or 300 languages.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We are so diversified in terms of language, culture, tradition. And even what we are eating. I have fun when I talk to people. I hear that, okay, in Cameroon, you can decide to spend 1 month eating different kind of food.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Is it that diverse?
Yeah.
Wow. And so tell us, what are some of the foods there? Because, you know, I love my food.
If there is something I really miss, is my food.
We're in Cape Town, and typically here they have what they call pap. That would be like very traditional food. But how different is the food that you're missing from Cameroon?
It's true that in Cameroon we have also pap. But I don't think that is the most important food. Like when people ask, I don't know what is the word again. People say, yeah, what is your main food in Cameroon?
Yes, staple food.
Staple food.
Yes.
It's really difficult as Cameroonian to say what is a staple food. Because the staple food in Cameroon depends on your tribe, where you are coming from. Oh. Yeah. And it's not just one thing, but you can have kind of three or four things like people are eating, always eat. Yeah.
So you guys, you mentioned that it's like a miniature Africa.
Yeah.
Do you guys grow rice in Cameroon?
Yeah.
Oh, I love rice. We have lots of rice in Malawi, so I love rice. Oh,
we grow rice. The funny thing is, we don't even eat our own rice. We grow rice and we export it. And we import rice from other countries to eat. Okay, that one is not among the best quality. It's what they yeah.
Interesting. Do you guys have deserts as well in Cameroon?
Okay, we don't have desert, but
least.
We have the influence of, how do you call that desert? Sahara desert. Because we are, Chad is one of our neighbor country, and Chad is essentially in the desert. And that influenced the north part of Cameroon. It's not a desert, but we have that influence. Yeah.
Interesting. But hey, speaking of foods,
yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
There is so many things when we talk about food, about Cameroonian food. If you are vegetarian in Cameroon, you don't have too much problem. what you are not just going to have is that vegetarian poloni and all that, but many African dishes or not traditional dishes, you can easily make them
without meat.
Without meat,
and they still taste good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna talk about one thing from my tribe where I'm coming from. Yeah, we call it. Okay, I can call it mashed potatoes. Our kind of mashed potatoes. We make it generally with. We have potatoes, beans, and red oil.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you mix it all together.
Yeah. You cook beans apart, and the kind of beans from my place is the black beans. I know people don't know about it.
Yeah, because I'm even describe that a little more.
That's beans for me is the most tasty, the black beans.
Hmm.
It's just little beans. Yeah, you cook it apart. You peel potatoes. You cook, and at the end, you mix your potatoes with your beans, your black beans, and you let them dry in the pot, and you mash them, adding a red oil.
Ah, so what do you call that in your language? What do you call that food?
Not really. Okay, generally we call it pile.
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 Pomme pile. That is
pomme pile.
Pomme. Okay. Pomme is French.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes.
Pomme pile.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Vivian describing to us how to make pomme pile. Wow, it sounds interesting. Black beans.
Yeah.
What do you guys call pap in your language?
It depends.
But where you're from?
I have a problem. I don't speak that much my own language. Yeah.
But you speak French?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Some parts of the country, they call it kepen.
Kepen.
Kepen. Is that maize porridge?
Yes, yeah. The thick one.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
You know, in my country, we call it nsima.
Uh-huh.
And you also eat it with your hands, right?
Okay. I think that we have kepen, we have mesang, sang. Other is sang, other is mesang, other is, okay, as I say, kepen. Yeah. And generally, I was amazed to notice that people like it here with beans. In my place, we don't eat it with beans. If you eat with beans, people are just going to be shocked.
Really?
So,
you know, I find that fascinating how, like, in so many different cultures, the same foods are sometimes eaten differently. Like what you just said now, where I'm from, nsima and nyemba, that's beans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a special treat, man.
But
where you're from, you don't eat those together.
No.
Wow.
We eat pap or kepen or san with. We have many ways to cook green legume. You can cook it with it. Cook that green veggies or legume apart. Or we have a traditional sauce. That one is tickly. We call it in my tribe is nkui.
Nkui?
Yeah.
I like that word. Nkui?
Yeah. That's one of the main dishes back home. And that one, people cook it at least every day when a woman gives birth. In the in my tribe, they say that it cleans the woman stomach. So when a woman gives birth, they cook it in the morning, for lunch, and for supper, they cook something else.
Now, Vivian, sadly, we are out of time. I really wish I had a dish of nkui to taste. Before we leave, tell us, how would we say goodbye in your language?
Okay, in my own language.
Yes.
We say ee.
Ee. Ah, that's nice. I like that. Okay, guys, I need to go. So, ee. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was a discussion that I had with Vivian. isn't it amazing? I just find it fabulously amazing, the diversity of cultures we have on this little planet of ours. And then if I bring it closer home, Africa, the diversity of cultures that we have on this continent, that tells me that God is extremely creative. And imagine, he thought of all these different cultures. Wow, wow. God is indeed amazing. And what is your take on culture? How are things where you're from? Write in. Let us know about it. We'll read your email or letter on air. Now, obviously, before you can write, you need an address. So here goes. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. awr@sidmedia.org. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, and the postal code is 7129. I'll repeat that. Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, postal code 7129. You can also visit us on Facebook. Look for Practical Living. Go ahead, like us, drop your comments there, your shout outs, as it were, and just let us know what God is doing in your life. We need to share that with the rest of the world so that they will see God is indeed alive and working in our lives. Sadly, guys, I need to go. But remember, right here, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God abundantly bless you.